Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's The Usual Suspects. You know how we do. From 1 to 4, we have a little fun, talk a little sports, carry you through your work day and otherwise. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're all present and accounted for.
How's your day going?
It's going.
Isn't that how we're going to do this now?
Oh, that's right.
Intern Trey's podcast?
Well, we needed MC.
Oh, that's right. We do need Michael Carroll to come in and ask us that. How's your day going?
Well, MC.
Hello, I am MC. So awesome.
How's your day today?
Thank you, MC. Now all is good there in the go. World.
If you guys don't know Michael Carroll, who is the brains behind this operation around here at Gal Media.
Our production guy extraordinaire.
Yeah, Trey had him do his intro, and then part of Trey's script was to say, how's your day today? And Michael was like, why am I saying this to your podcast intro? So that's what we're going to do now. We're stealing Trey's ideas. That's what this show has come to.
And also,
is ripping off Trey.
The voice never identifies themselves when they do the voice of billboards and intros. They just...
Right. It's kind of like I've always said when a comedian does an impression.
Yeah.
If you have to tell people who it is,
yeah,
you don't do a very good impression and you shouldn't do it.
So like, that's why your Morgan Freeman is spot on.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Well, the guy who does
you
the voice...
You know what's funny is I was listening to one of my Morgan Freeman... I recorded one back... Do you remember... Oh, you don't remember when I was doing the Jobless Chronicles, huh?
Yeah, I think I do.
I had this thing on Facebook when I got laid off
from
work.
Yeah, you told me about it.
I was doing the Jobless Chronicles, and in my head, the way I wrote them was like a Civil War soldier riding home. And then eventually, in my head, that morphed into like the voice of Morgan Freeman. So as a test, I tried one. I think you give me too much grief. It was pretty damn good.
You know what? I give you grief in fun, but I actually thought your Morgan Freeman, and I told you this, was better than most.
In fact, it's on SoundCloud, Nick. At the first break, I'm going to give you the link. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to play it, and you can judge how...
I'm giving you credit on your Morgan Freeman, especially those that take a lot of credit for doing Morgan Freeman and our listeners as well who tried it. Yours was better.
There was this one comic who would do impressions, but he would be like... Hey, this is Pee Wee Herman. And then he would do the joke. And it's like, yeah, but if you have to tell people who it is, and then none of them were good. It was just like that. That was a horrible Pee Wee Herman. Yeah, he would, it was so bad. Like, that's the beauty of impressions. You should know who it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Paul Reubens, is that his name? Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, it is Paul Reubens, isn't
right?
it?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Was he known more for Pee Wee Herman or playing with Pee Wee Herman in the movie theater?
I thought you were going to say, is that Rick Rubin's like creepy brother?
No. Siri says yes, Paul Reubens.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
You Googled Siri?
Yeah, I Googled Siri. Yeah.
Good for you.
I know you are, but one of mine. No, I see that's terrible.
I thought he was older,
that was
though.
Bad. That was awful. That was worse than mine?
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was almost as bad as my Morgan Freeman.
Can you imagine if this takes off and becomes a thing now where the voice of certain shows and things will like, you know, in a world. The movie guy, although he's dead, the next guy doing it would be like, MB here, in a world.
Yeah, if they did their names.
Yeah, or like...
Who's the guy? What's the name of the guy that does the ESPN intros?
Jim Cutler.
That would be great. He was like, hey, Jim Cutler here, and now it's time for The Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Or you're at your next big heavyweight bout, Nick, and Michael Buffer comes into the ring and goes, MB here. Let's get ready to rumble.
That would be pretty stellar.
Fly.
That would be pretty stellar.
And then, that would be great. He would do that, and then right before the two fighters meet in the middle, he'd go, "How's your guys' day going?" That would be fantastic.
I love it.
Trey would be sitting somewhere by himself going, "I did that."
Speaking of interns, and I hate to say this because I have this reputation to uphold.
You crap on an intern
no,
today?
He's not.
No, man. I am so impressed right now with one Lance Zierlein. He is over there in the big conference room with all the interns doing kind of a seminar.
Dell was saying that on the air.
Yeah, I didn't know about it. And when Dell walked out during your show, I thought it was just because you suck so bad that he was like, "I quit."
No, that's not what happened.
Oh, and he goes, I said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to go sit in on this seminar." I said, "What seminar?" He said, "Zierlein is doing a seminar for the interns." I was like, "Really?" And I went over there. Dude, it's so badass. He's over there talking to him about the business. And I was just like, man, you know what? If you never thought that Lance Zierlein was a good dude before, that confirms it. This was his idea. He just wanted to do it for them. And I'm happy for the interns because they're learning from one of the absolute best in this business,
yep.
Not just in this city, not just in this state, but nationwide. How lucky are they and how happy are they that they're getting to sit in there and pick that dude's brain? Good for them, man.
I mean,
I'm really happy.
First of all,
for
if you didn't think Lance was a good guy, that's on you. Because he's always been a really good dude. I've said it time and time again. When I left the Rockets and was trying to figure out if this was for me, he gave me so much good advice, and he was just so honest that it helped a ton. And I, from time to time, I'll stop in and pick his brain as much as just we sit there and shoot the bull. But that kind of thing right there.
That's so cool.
That's huge.
I'm really happy for all those interns. That's a good thing that they get.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So way to go, Lance.
Yep. Good for him.
So you were knee-deep in the ESPYs last night.
I didn't think I was going to watch them. I even wrote about it for my sports map article because I had no clue what to write about.
I hate that feeling.
The worst week of the year to have to write about sports, really. But yeah, I was actually kind of into it. I won't say this. I didn't like stop everything I was doing and watch the ESPYs from start to finish. But I had it on and I was paying attention more than I wasn't, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the computer. I was doing stuff. But a lot of really cool and poignant moments last night. And for Houston, too, just to see, you know, the male athlete of the year, two guys repping Houston and James Harden. Of course, it's the MVPs from all the leagues, basically.
Yep.
But to have two guys representing Houston in that category, to have Houston win team of the year, to have the Astros win team of the year, some really cool stuff, man. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say on that note, and you know, Granada was poo-pooing on the whole awards, and it's too corny, and it's too cheesy, and all that other stuff.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm going to say this. I disagree with most of their award winners, especially with Houston having representatives in at least five categories and only winning one. Excuse me. But if you take aside those awards, because the leagues do those awards, you know, that's where I think the only awards should be, is the leagues give away the MVPs and those kind of things. But the what they do to remember and represent things that we might have forgotten across the year that have that emotional tie, that have that, hey, they may not be the best player on the planet in their sport, but like the coaches that were remembered from the high schools where the shootings occurred,
yep.
You know, the Jim Kelly and all he's been through for the Jimmy V Award, those kind of awards and that kind of remembrance and those speeches, they're awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing that got me the first was, I got a little misty in the living room when Jim Kelly was giving his speech. I tweeted about that. And then the coaches award was given to the three coaches that were in that Parkland, Florida shooting.
Yep.
And then the last one, Arthur Ashe Courage Award, where 141 of Larry Nassar's victims got on stage and accepted that award. Mm-hmm. Of the 333, by the way, 333 women. This dude ruined their lives. 141 of them took the stage, and it was really powerful. It was really – it stopped me in my tracks to see that many women. You don't understand, you don't really think about a number
right
when someone says 141 or 333.
On a news report or
– but when you see 141 women who have, you know, families and kids and loved ones and husbands and wives or whatever it is – it really makes an impact on you, and it really like it. It was upsetting. It was It was enlightening, and it was encouraging to watch them be able to stand on that stage and not be ashamed, because that's part of the problem, is that you stand up there and you feel ashamed for something that you had no control over, for something that you didn't do. And it takes a ton of courage to not only do that, but then to stand up there and talk about it. And I thought Ali Raisman's quote really stood out to me. And she said something to the effect of, all it took was one adult to stand between us and Larry Nassar, and the victims after that would have never been victims. And I thought, man, that is so true, that it just takes one person to say something. And it took years for this to all come to light. And man, it was pretty powerful.
The things that stood out to me were, one, just the overall of just when you take in all of those women on the stage, that was impactful. But then I'm piggybacking on what you said, because I thought Ali Raisman did a hell of a job. The other thing, and I'm paraphrasing, is the message of you felt like you were alone when you experienced what you did, but essentially you now realize that as long as you go out and speak out, that you are never going to be alone again, and you have all these different people on your side and on your team. It was a moving and powerful message. But that's why I said, you can go through and you can pick apart the awards themselves, but yeah, man, when you talk about the emotions of the actual, those kind of things, that's what makes the ESPYs what they are.
I didn't think it was cheesy at all. I thought it was emotional and powerful. And this was the exact quote: all we needed was just one adult to have the integrity to stand between us and Larry Nassar. That's deep. Mm-hmm. That's deep, and that's a shame.
Now, let's get to your feelings on Danica Patrick's open.
I didn't see
and
it.
And the jokes. Oh,
I didn't
okay.
see it.
And the
I videos. I saw two skits that she did. The one where she came out as Game of Thrones and told Aaron Rodgers, I'm bringing the costume home, honey. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then the one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, okay.
She took a shot at Altuve's height, too. I'll play that audio I have.
There. Oh, okay.
She and Aaron also did, instead of I, Tanya, they did I, Danica.
Oh, really?
Or Me, Danica.
Nice.
Which was kind of corny.
Okay.
All right, we're just getting started. If you want to join in, jump on board, and let's get to some talking. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, and of course you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at @TheProducerNick, it's at @PacManJoel with a K, and it's at @BarryIsFunny. Fasten your seatbelts. We're ready to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. Did want to mention the actual quote from Ali Raisman as she wrapped up. It was, we may suffer alone, but we survive together. And that was pretty deep, too. So that was good, but overall great. I really thought that the Houston contingent got ripped off a little bit. I thought that Mike Trout winning best baseball player last year was highway robbery for Altuve, simply because this isn't a career achievement award, or like we always talk about with Trout and LeBron, you're going to be in the running every year.
Yeah.
But unless people are just, you know, like the all-star balloting, if people are just stuffing the ballot box for guys, I thought Altuve hands down wins MLB player of the year. I thought Harden hands down wins NBA, and instead it went to LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, I thought game of the year should go to game 5 of the World Series, and it went to there was a lot of people that said, we didn't even know that the USA women won the gold. And I do remember that they won. But that's gonna surpass arguably the greatest World Series game in the history of the World Series?
Yeah, that might have been one of the best baseball games I've ever watched.
No,
I was kind of surprised that it didn't win either.
So that surprised me. They did win Team of the Year. And then Best Overall Male Athlete of the Year, Alex Ovechkin.
I didn't have a problem with that. You know why?
Because they won it all?
No, because I feel like it was such an accomplishment for him to finally get that opportunity. And to have to pick between the MVPs, between the three majors, you know, you have to pick between Altuve and James Harden. So you're splitting the vote, so to speak, in the city of Houston. And then there was Tom Brady. So you're like, well, do you give it to him because he wins all the time?
Right.
And so I think the safe pick in that regard was, all right, forget the three majors and those MVPs. We'll just go with the guy that hadn't won anything before.
But again, from Altuve's perspective, the Astros never won anything before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a little miffed by that. And I know there was a lot of people more than miffed. They were going someone on Twitter put, good morning, everyone, except the USA women's hockey team, because they were so bitter, the Astros. I'm not going that far, but I really thought that the whole city of Houston's representative should have won more than one.
I do, too. I think it was a hell of a year for the city of Houston when you consider Altuve and the World Series and James Harden. And, you know, there was definitely more opportunities to get Houston in. But the fact that they were nominated for quite a bit, I thought was great. To see Harden and Altuve in the same category. Two-fifths of that category were Houston sports representatives. Right. Half, two-fourths, because it was just four. That's a pretty damn good deal.
I like two-fourths better than one-half.
Because I said two-fifths, so I had to correct. I like that. You know what, you leave my math alone.
Yeah, I like that.
Don't let me stick times table on you over here.
We know defensively the Astros
88 lost. Times 73.
1,000.
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I was going to say two-fifths of the Rockets' best defenders left.
Yeah.
But two-fourths of the nominees
for
Athlete of the Year. So that was the ESPYs. The breaking news this morning as we were prepping for the show, which I knew we both were going to be very upset by, or at least somewhat upset by, is after the big move yesterday with Manny Machado going to the Dodgers, Brad Hand goes from the Padres to the Indians. Mm. And another one bites the dust that could have been a potentially big-time addition to your Houston Astros before the trade deadline.
I've been on that Brad Hand bandwagon for 2 years. I really thought it was going to happen. I really thought that as much as it was talked about, nope, to the Indians. A team that you didn't want to see get better. There was three teams you really didn't want to see get better. And it was the Red Sox, and because I don't think the Yankees can get much better. I think that they're loaded. But the Red Sox, the Indians, and to be honest with you, the Mariners. You didn't want to see those three get better.
No, absolutely not. And that's why I got the whole Fast Times at Ridgemont High quote in my head now the rest of the day.
Which is?
Jeff Spicoli. You dick, Mr. Hand.
Yeah.
I wanted him as a member of the Astros. I thought, there's the perfect guy, and he's a lefty, because we know that they are a little light on lefties in the pen, though they're righty. We've talked about that ad nauseum. The righties get the job done. But boy, if you could have added a guy that brought all of that to the table, and he was a lefty, to put at the back end of your bullpen, perfect addition in my mind. So the Indians, and then you add the fact that if they do at some point get Miller back in the bullpen, boy, that helps them immensely, because during the All-Star game when they were talking about, you know, the Indians' outlook, and Lindor was talking about, or is it Lindor?
Yeah, Lindor.
Okay, Lunau. They were talking about, you know, interviewing him about all we got to do is get in, and then we got a chance against anybody. But as long as they get in with that bullpen and the fact that they have plenty of bats, I mean, that's a team to be reckoned with if you're any team in the American League.
Yep.
So that bummed me out today. I didn't like to see that.
Yeah, it does kind of suck. I was trying to look up bullpen ERA and see where they were at.
Who's San Diego or Cleveland?
No, Cleveland. Oh, Cleveland. Okay. Yeah. Because I thought they were last in the majors. They are second to last in bullpen ERA. Kansas City has now surpassed them as the worst bullpen in the majors. But yeah, Cleveland has been pretty atrocious all year. So they needed some help, and they'll get that. They've got it now with Hand, and then, like you said, when they get Andrew Miller back, they'll get some
help.
And they may not be done yet.
One of the reasons why their numbers are bad is he's been out for a significant amount of time with his back issues and whatever else he's dealing with. But that's a guy that they rely heavily on that gives them multiple innings at times, but is just a lights-out guy that whenever they call his number, that's hurt their bullpen numbers as it is. But then you add a guy like Hand, and you got to believe that if they're healthy going into the playoffs, that bullpen is as good as anybody's.
Yeah, it was his knee, by the way, for Miller.
I had heard during the, because during the Astros series, I thought he was put on the DL with his back too.
His current stint is his knee.
Okay, so it's current stint knee, but yeah. I thought he initially they put him down for his, he was having some back tightness too. Maybe he was favoring it, but maybe I'm just not a doctor and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night, so that could be on me. So we've got a little baseball. Now we got baseball again tonight. The only game on the docket, but it's Cubs Cardinals. At least there's something to watch before baseball gets back in full swing tomorrow with all teams pretty much on the docket.
You going to watch it?
I might because there's nothing else on.
Yeah, I'll find something to do. I mean, I want to – I don't know. I'm in that mode right now where I'm not feeling sportsy. I think it's just the week.
Well, you said that, but then you got roped into the ESPYs last night.
Yeah, that's not – I mean, it didn't make me feel like all, enamored with – the sport part of it. It was really the touching moments of
emotion
that I was the emotions that I was more into.
Okay. Nick, you watch any of that?
No, I didn't watch anything.
Okay.
I didn't watch any of it, no.
I was
really more upset, honestly, that I missed the All-Star game because I was looking forward to seeing them. But anything regarding the Astros on the ESPYs, I didn't really care about, honestly.
No.
But the fact that you mentioned the, like, if had I known about the Larry Nassar victims, like, if someone told me this was happening, I probably would have tuned it. Because that's something like that just grabs my attention. It's sad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it got misty twice in my living room. Once when Jim Kelly, because he opened his speech talking about his son, Hunter, and whew.
I saw Kirsten tweet about that. Yeah. I knew that would have touched
me too. The waterworks started on me there, and then when they did a wide shot of the Arthur Ashe Award and showed all 140 women standing in rows on that stage, got me again. So,
yeah, big time. And I don't know. I mean, the Jim Kelly thing, I think, unfortunately, kind of takes a backseat because of how impactful the gymnasts were. But Jim Kelly, having gone through all that he's been through, as many times as he's been through it, and now I believe they removed more than half of his jaw. Last surgery.
Yeah. I mean, you think about what he's, like you said, the jaw, it was cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
His son, who lived to be 14, but and they didn't think with the disease that he had that he would live that long. He was one of the longest survivors of the disease. And then his sports career. And I'm not trying to make a joke of this. When you get to a Super Bowl four times and don't win, and that's what you're known for, that has to be pretty difficult on you emotionally and psychologically because you're known as the loser. So, I mean, yeah, he got to play sports and get rich, and that's great for him. But, dude, think about that. If you're always known as the guy that couldn't get it done.
And it's almost worse than being a average player that never gets negative or positive attention but gets a paycheck for being in the league.
You're basically a punchline in the NFL and for your career.
Because LeBron is the best player in the world, and look what he has to deal with because he hasn't won.
I think people respected his career,
for some people.
But when you talk about losers and consistently losing, the Buffalo Bills, led by Jim Kelly, are one of those teams that are brought up immediately when you have those discussions. So that can't be good. Right. So, I mean, you talk about a guy that has persevered through some stuff.
And no matter who talk to, they say he's just a great dude.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah. And I remember him as a Houston gambler back in the old USFL days.
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I ain't gonna lie. And you know me, I would poo-poo on something like the ESPYs in a heartbeat, but it was pretty legit.
You got it. All right, we're just getting started. If you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, why don't you give us a ring, 713-780-3776. Or you can text, or you can tweet. Usual Suspect back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, let's do some good for the people, shall we?
Why not?
All right, let's give away invitations for two to our listener appreciation party that's going down right here at Gal Media. We love to party. We know you love to party. And since we've been having a great run and our station is doing well and we keep growing, and it's because of our listeners, we've decided to throw you guys a party. This is your opportunity to win an invitation for two to the Gal Media Listener Appreciation Party. Goes down August 2nd right here in our offices. It's one of those awesome, all-inclusive things where all you do is show up. We take care of the rest, including all the fun. You'll have an opportunity to talk football with the bench, try to stump Charlie Polillo, the genius of sports. We'll pop a shot with the usual suspects. Still don't know how we got roped into that. And then maybe play some poker or talk poker with the Blitz. Only way to get in, only way to enjoy the listener appreciation party is via an invitation. You see how I said that like Charlie? Via? Sure. I usually say via, but via invitation. So listen every day for your chance to win. And right now we're going to give it away. Caller number 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. Caller number 7 is going to win two tickets or invitations to our listener appreciation party on August 2nd. Good luck.
There you go. That should be a fun time. Can we leave that as a TBD?
Nick, are there? Yeah. I don't know about Papa Shot, but I mean, if I have to show off my skills, I will.
What caller number are we doing?
7. And yeah, we don't have any interns, so you're screwed. I should have done 50. Damn it. What was I thinking?
I popped my head in there. They got a lot of people in there.
Yeah, I know. It's cool, right?
Yeah, very cool. I wish we could TBD that, because when I had talked to Todd the other day about it and he was throwing out ideas, he had said to me, what if you guys did like recorded voicemails for people for their phones and stuff? And I was like, that's fine. I mean, if we could do the What Up H-Town.
I like the What Up H-Town. You should do that anyways. I kind of like the Papa Shot.
I'm going to walk around the party and people will be conversing and I'll walk up behind them and go, what up, H-Town?
Just scare people.
713. And people are like, what the hell are you doing?
And you know, the more I think about it, I kind of dig the Papa Shot idea. It's going to be fun.
Well, you're going to lose.
To who?
To me.
Child, please.
Bring it. Both.
Okay.
Of you.
Yeah. And I'll even do it 3-point hook shot style.
You make sure that thing does a drive-by on your ear.
We're going to need a higher ceiling. We're going to have to do it out in the lobby with the high ceilings.
Oh, I think we are anyway. I think we were the show that got
the
lobby.
Of course we did. Yeah. Who do we like the least? We'll put them in the lobby. Oh, suspects. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll put them out in the lobby. Are you going to be doing your Warby free shot? Super high arching one since we got the tall ceilings out there?
Or Purvis Short?
Was it? I thought it was Warby Free that had the high shot.
He went around the way he shot it, but Purvis Short was the one that when he was coming up, and he was a former Rocket back in the day, that his coach used to make him shoot over a broomstick. So he shot the really high arcing shot.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was, for some reason, I don't know why I mixed those up in my head, but good looking out. That's who I was thinking of, Purvis Short with his, I need to go watch another video of that. Because, boy, he used to jack up the rainbow jumper.
Yeah, and they did a feature on him one time where he said, yeah, I had to shoot over a broomstick and shoot like 500 shots a day.
And that's a normal thing now. Was that you'll see basketball teams and they'll just have a broom and they just raise it to make dudes shoot over it like it's a hand. And yeah, that became part of a regiment, right?
The thing that was funny to me was, yeah, because they have, and they'll put something on the end of the broomstick just to kind of make it more like a hand. But that was the one that I thought could be effective because you're working on your floaters and things like that and you get it up high. But I always laughed when our big man coach for player development was Derek Alston, who played in the league for a while. And he still lives here out by me in Sugarland. And then Mikhail. And they would give him like one of those foam at the pool, foam. Or a little more padded.
A little foam noodle.
Yeah, or like a cricket stick we were talking about. But it literally was no wood. It was all just like a pad with like vinyl around it. And Mikhail would just sit there and take like swings at players. And players are like, child, please. The thing would hit it and just, you know, bend and go off the guy's arm. And he'd still go up and dunk it. I'm like, coach, do you really think that you're putting resistance on the player when he goes up for a dunk? And he's like, yeah, this is what they give me. I'd rather just start.
Is that the weirdest training tool you've ever seen on the basketball court? What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
I'd have to think about it because people would send them, you know, all the time, and they were always constantly calling. It was always funny that people would say on my voicemail I got, or when there was an injury, and because I oversaw broadcasting, if you know Murph or Clyde and Bill were talking about something on the air with someone's injury, the next day on my voicemail I would get some like completely out of left field space aged recovery tool that we're not using that we should to get Terrence Jones's toe right or something. I'm going, yeah, I'm going to run down to basketball ops and give you them your number now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny. When I used to train Muay Thai at 4 Ounce Fight Club with Bob Perez was my trainer. And he's Derek Lewis's guy. And he has some pretty unorthodox methods of training. But one is kind of a more traditional Muay Thai thing where he would be like, all right, we're going to do bag work. And so you'll just sit there, you punch the bag, kick the bag, elbows, knees, and all that. But as you're doing these routines, I would be like, all right, we're going to do high kicks for 1 minute, go. And then everybody high kicks the bag. He would walk around with what I called a fire stick. And it wasn't completely wooden, but it wasn't like a foam noodle that you have in the pool. It was firm. And he would hit you in the leg as hard as he could, either in your thigh or on your shin. And it was to toughen up your legs. And it was like being punished. It was like your dad was giving you an ass whooping. It hurt so bad. But by the time you got around to sparring and someone kicked you, it was almost it was laughable compared to the fire stick. But it toughened you up. It was kind of like one of those things. You know how they swing a bat ahead of time before they go to the plate, and it's a weighted bat, or they'll have a donut
swing
on it.
Ring or the donut. Yeah,
and then that way when the bat feels a lot lighter, it's kind of like that. In that you get hit in the shins and in the thigh enough with a stick that by the time you go to get kicked, it doesn't bother you.
I mean, if you're having a bad day, is there a better job?
Then
have that thing in your hand and go around. My day sucks. Bring your leg over here.
And he wouldn't tell you. So you'd be facing the bag and you would be just throwing these high kicks. You'd be mid kick. And then the next thing you know, your shin is on fire. Your plant leg, the shin is just burnt. You're like, what? It was pretty unorthodox, but I tell you what, it worked.
I bet.
Yeah. For a long time, man, my shins were tough. If I kicked you, whoo.
You think like
about shin conditioning?
Yeah.
You think when they used to have Slap Fest that was the conditioning for that.
Just slap people.
People just walk by and slap you in the face. Got to condition your cheeks, buddy. Got to get ready for that.
One of the craziest ones is this Muay Thai fighter. I forget his name. I got to look it up. But he goes out and he kicks bamboo trees.
Oh.
And until they break. And that's how he does his shin conditioning. It's insane. Like, if you watch a video, you're like, oh, this dude is kicking trees. Remember the old, like, Bill Cosby bit where he'd be like, yeah, my dad made me tackle a tree. He'd be like, you see that tree? Hit that. This dude is actually kicking trees until they fall down.
Remember that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where he was like kicking a tree and then his master was like giving him grief like he was a pansy?
Yes.
So he's like, oh, you want me to kick this harder? And he just kept kicking the tree hard until he like messed up his leg.
Yes.
Remember that? That was the funniest scene ever.
This is, here's one of them. But no, this isn't the guy. This is insane though. This, don't kick a tree. Here he goes. I will tweet this out. What's his name? What the hell's his name? Oh, I got to find his name. All right, I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
I digress.
All right. Trey, by the way.
Uh-oh. Juggalo Trey?
Juggalo Trey is on Twitter right now. And I know he's geeked up, but he's holding his breast. But Liam Gallagher from Oasis has some bizarre tweet out there about trying to get the band back together. Trey is just like, he's just initializing everything. This is where it comes from with his podcast. So Liam Gallagher is the lead singer, I believe. So Juggalo Trey says, so LG, not Liam Gallagher.
Oh no, he
wants
knows
to reunite Oasis. I doubt NG will ever do it, but who knows? But if Oasis gets the band back together, I'm in. I'm going to go to every concert stop on the whole tour and get my t-shirts. Oasis. He's in.
That's funny.
So he's fired up.
Yeah. I love that he refers to the band members like he knows them. LG and NG or whatever the hell their names are.
It does make sense to how MC had to identify himself as MC when he did the voiceover for his billboards.
True.
Right? Yes. I mean, that's where it all came from. True. Well, at least we've gotten to the that is down true. To the roots of now, where it comes
now you're
from.
Just gonna be JB, BL, NS. Yeah.
Now, unless that's Nick funny. Gets mad, then he won't do it anymore. Trey is terrified of Mad Nick. So if Nick would get mad at NS, he'd be like, yeah, I'm sorry, Nick. You don't like that, so I'm just gonna call you Nick.
What the hell is this on the call screen?
Well, we know Troy, right?
Troy. Remember Troy?
Yeah.
Text he sent. You want to be specific about it?
Let's just put him on. What the hell is talking about? A text he sent to me.
Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Troy, what's up,
my man?
Been
a while, buddy.
Well, I'm listening. I'm at home, and my buddy calls me. Said, hey, man, are you listening to the Blitz? I said, no. When the Blitz comes on, I turn my funeral music on. He said, dude, did you text in about AJ being Joel's biatch? And I said, I sure did, but I didn't put my name on it. He said, they done tracked you down in Messenger. They know who you are now. That was me.
That was you, Troy?
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Because I told AJ the secret about, because AJ gets, like most of us, he gets a ton of hate text. And so I shared with him the same thing that I shared with Joel, which is the secret is you take the number, you paste it into Facebook, and it'll usually, when people register with Facebook, they've given their phone number, it'll find it. Well, what it found was a Facebook message you posted that was a public message telling someone to call you.
Yeah.
That is so funny, dude.
You called him?
Oh, my God. That's so funny. No, we didn't call him.
Oh, that would have been even better.
I mentioned his name on the air because he texted and he said, AJ is Joel's bitch now.
Oh, God.
And I read the text. See, Joel, you think I only read your hate text. That's not true. I read my hate text. I read Nick's hate text. I read AJ's hate text on his show. It was a hilarious text, by the way, Troy. AJ laughed, too, just FYI. He laughed at it. He thought it was funny, too.
Yeah, that's
the only reason I sent it. Because I knew you were on there with AJ yesterday.
Yeah, nothing can be further from the truth. And also, because I got a bunch of texts, Troy.
Sir?
I got a whole bunch of texts when that happened. Like, AJ's your bitch now. I'm like, what the? And I didn't, I mean, like, come on, man, seriously? But I was like, no, okay. We've gone way off the rails from just finding a common ground. So, yeah.
Good stuff, Troy.
We love the show. All right, man. I'm out.
Thanks,
appreciate you,
bud.
That's so funny. That is so funny.
It's crazy, though, that you get to the bottom of it, because normally you would never expect that anybody would
own
that text.
When I read his name, it was Troy. His last name starts with a T, and it didn't even dawn on me to think that it was our Troy.
Right.
Because Troy doesn't come off as a guy that does that, though.
No, right. He's the nicest dude on the planet.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. You want to get on the show and call in like Troy? Well, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, text us or tweet us. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back hour number one, Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, Joel on a Thursday. Precursor, of course, to an Friday. You got your comedian all lined up?
Yeah, it's going to be the guy I'm working with, Greg Warren.
Cool.
Yeah, he's going to come in studio at 3:30.
Oh, look at that.
So that'll be cool. Yeah.
Defensive I said I was going to try to get him. Right?
Huh?
Defensive lineman for the Cowboys? No?
No. Ask him that, though.
Okay.
Or just introduce him that way. That way, like, surprise him and just make it seem like you really believe he was a former Cowboy.
Yeah.
That would be kind of funny. Be like, I thought you were going to be a lot bigger in person.
You're not Greg Hardy. You're Greg Warren.
All right. Nice.
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a lot on the list. You checking any of the electronic media checking in with us? I noticed some things along the way in terms of Twitter. We do appreciate all you people with the heads ups. We got those. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the text line. I've been like sidetracked by a bunch of different things.
Lamont says the last person to train with a broom other than Purvis Short was Johnny Manziel.
That's
for
true.
Some perspective. Well, that quarterback guru, there's that guy, and they do it on the beach out in California. Brady's worked with him. A lot of guys have worked with him. A lot of college kids coming out work with him. And that is one of the things that they do for footwork drills, where you got to, he swings the broom at different levels at your feet while you're in the pocket. And you've got, because, you know, you have bodies laying on the ground that you got to be able to, kind of Deshaun Watson, to be able to have the agility to jump over him, move around him, back away from him. So, yeah, that is a training tool. Who knew?
Yeah, I would have never thought that. I would have never thought to do like stuff like that. That you got to be really creative. And then you have to wonder, does that stuff really work? Like, you see some certain drills in certain sports and you just think, is that even effective? Or is it just something that looks good? It looks flashy, so you think it works.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nothing can take the place of like an offensive lineman's body rolling at you or,
right.
you know, or trying to get up or do those kind of things. But, I mean, whenever I see those drills now, I put into perspective a little bit of Deshaun Watson last year because a lot of his footwork was just amazing where his head was up, eyes were up, looking at, you know, guys running the different routes, and yet he was able to, you know, elude guys on the ground and coming low at him. With his footwork, and that's amazing. But obviously nothing takes the place of an actual body doing it. But I'm sure it's got to at least give, you know, your kind of muscle memory a little bit of a...
It's kind of like the original, like, for me, the original was the blocking sled. That was the one thing you always saw. And because when I was playing, like, football, we didn't do drills like that. We lined up and we ran plays, and then each of your coaches would be like, hey, you know, if you're going to do this, this is how you do it. The only other thing you had was the blocking sled, and then you just did your warm-up exercises and ran. And now they've got – dude, there's guys, there's coaches. Like my buddy Derek Jonkins is a trainer, and he just opens a facility in the Woodlands, D. Jonkins Sports, which is a really cool facility. But he gets paid a lot of money for these kids, these athletes to come in, and he trains them. And he's got so much equipment, and it varies. Like he's got those stepladder things where you do the quick steps in and out and just like cone drills. I'm just like, man, it's so much more advanced than when I was a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Plex over there and the things that they do when they're working with athletes, all the different equipment they have. Yeah, because before it was like you'd put the smaller guys standing on top of the blocking sled. And even the D linemen would have to hit the blocking sled for a three count, five count, and then try and get their hands up in the air to block a pass or whatever. And we used to do that until one of our smaller defensive backs wasn't paying attention, and he was supposed to throw his hands in the air, and his foot was on the back of the sled, and the sled rode over his foot, broke his ankle. Coach is like, yeah, we won't be doing that anymore tomorrow. But, yeah, it's definitely come a long way. There's no doubt about that.
Somebody said, Chris Householder said, if I get to this party, I am going to dominate you both in Papa Shot. That was Chris Householder.
Wear your belt, Chris, and we'll see how it works.
Yeah. Bring it.
Yeah. Bring it, sucker.
Yeah, you ain't getting a ring, so you might as well just bring your belt.
Somebody wants to know whether there'll be a Houston game day reunion at the listener party. No, I don't believe that's going to be a thing. I think that's, we've moved on from that, unfortunately. I kind of miss Sundays. But I also don't miss getting up there.
I was going to say, you were working 6 days a week and doing your comedy and stuff.
And then getting home at 2 a.m. from a show on a Saturday and then having to get back up at 7 a.m. on a Sunday to get to, no.
And then new Nick was waiting for you, looking at his watch, tapping it, going, where are
Man,
you?
Man, please, I beat him half the time on Sundays. Are you kidding me?
That's not true. Say, a couple of times.
Damn lie.
There's been times where we, you know, Shock and I had to hold it down in the first segment.
Yeah, I was pooping. I was here. I just, you know.
Could have just said I was in the building, but I was indisposed. No, you were.
Nah. Okay. You know I'm an open book, Joel. I've never hidden anything from our listeners. I am 100% open book. Speaking of, yesterday was my first day working with Beth.
I saw that. I was watching.
John had come in and said you were going to lose your virginity with Beth.
Yeah.
That was interesting. There was a couple of times where you're a little uncomfortable, weren't you?
No, I just had to be calculated with my words. Yeah.
Like what you were going to do, because they asked you what you did with your wife.
Yeah, of course, AJ gets right into it, but at least he didn't go.
That was such a good segment.
At least he didn't go full Granado on me. If you didn't hear what he did to Granado.
That was.
What'd he do?
Go back and listen to, was it the first or second segment of the show they did?
It was either the first or the second.
He basically started asking really personal questions about Wendy.
About Granado's wife.
To Granado. And Granado rolled with it, but he was like, she's going to hate you, bro. Please don't do this. Of course, in typical AJ style. So he opens it up immediately. Beth sits down. And I mean, it was, I would say, as soon as Jong said hot, but Jong never says hot, by the way. He just turns your mic on. So you'd be like, and then I told that, huh? Hello? Oh, hey, we're on the air. My bad. So at least Nick gives us a warning.
Right.
But, I mean, Mike's immediately go hot. Welcome back to the Blitz. So how's your sex life with Nora, Barry? I was like,
Well, way to give me a second to breathe.
And he was like, it's really boring. It's really boring. Yeah, that's a like, safe answer.
Yeah, I was we're pretty boring. We're happy. We do our thing and we're happy. Like, yeah. And to be very measured.
Yikes. It was I can only imagine. Yeah. That's why I'm not, that's another reason why I'm not doing that. I can just tell you that would be absolute hell for me.
I was very calculated with my answers. I was very safe. And it was the few times on this show that I haven't been 100% honest and forthright and just gave whatever answers I needed to give to get out of the segment. That was the one time. But it was a fun segment. I mean, we did, he at one point had...
Go ahead.
No. You were going to ask about the nipple thing?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
So I thought it was a butt plug. I really did.
Oh, God.
She brought in this device that looked like if a dragon's teardrop. It was huge.
Like a syringe?
No, like if, like, I don't know. It was the shape of a teardrop. AJ said it looked like a baby bird wanting to be fed because it was shaped, and it was like... I'd have to draw it for you, but it was almost egg-shaped on one end. And then it had a spout that came up. And it had this mouth that looked like a baby bird's mouth that being opened.
And it nearly snatched AJ's nipple off
his
chest.
And it was it was a suction device that you put on your nipples. And I was like, why? How lazy are you as a dude where you're like, you know what, baby, I want you to be happy, but I don't want to have to be involved. So I got this device that I can attach to your nipple so I don't have to work.
But maybe you're busy doing something else, like she said.
Yeah, you still got hands. You can tweak them. Anyways.
Tweak them.
Joel's face.
Jeez.
Anyways, so she goes, can I put this on your nipple, AJ? He goes, yeah, sure. So at least he was, you know, forthright. And then he pulled his shirt up, and I almost vomited. So I had to look at his naked body.
So it's for guys and girls? I mean,
it's for nipples. Everybody has nipples,
right,
Joel.
But I mean, I'm just thinking she brought it in for you guys to try? Yeah.
And AJ was like, sure. So AJ pulls his shirt up. I almost lost my lunch. And then she attached it to his nipple. And he's like, oh, no. I don't like that. No. It hurts. And I was like, how many cylinders does that thing have? That motor is huge in it.
There was like a motor in it? It's a motor. It's like an air-propelled.
Yeah, like the
kind of. Like a syringe.
Like you clean out your baby's nose with,
right?
No.
I thought it was mechanical, too, but apparently it's got something in there.
It's got an on and off button. And speeds. And I really thought.
Did you touch this thing?
No. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding, Mr. Hygiene really, over here?
It looked like it was for your butt. It really did. And I was not going to touch it. But then when she put it on AJ's nipple, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Did you think about sitting on it?
I hate you.
When you said it was for your butt, I don't know.
No, I did not.
All right. Hour number one's in the books. 2 hours still to go of The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. Much more right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.